the sermon and playing the song. So, my name is Todd Kellyan. I'm with KGIL, Great Plains Christian Radio. How many of you are familiar with KGIL? Okay, there you go. Good. I figured so. I know Mark usually comes in and fills in. Mark wasn't able to do it today, so you got the third string quarterback. So, but even Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl, so I think we can pull this off. So, but I appreciate you taking the time to have us out. I want to let you know I'm a little different when I speak. I move around a lot. I'm pretty, what you would call, neurotic. So I'm loud, I move around a lot, and I just, it's different. So some people like it, some people don't, but we'll get through it. So now, pastors told me you guys like to be here till 2, right? Is that, all right? Oh, 3? Okay, yeah, we can arrange that. So, But once again, we're appreciative for what you do, and I know some of you in here support our ministry at KGIL, and it's greatly appreciated. Like we like to say, our ministry doesn't happen because of the people behind the mic. It happens, it takes a village. It happens with our supporters. It happens with everybody that's involved in the process. And one of those things, too, and I know you're a praying church, and I'm a huge advocate of prayer, but we have many, many people who pray for us daily, and we think the reason we're able to do what we do is because of that prayer. So so if you don't currently pray for us, if you wanted to add our ministry to your prayer list, that would be greatly appreciated. Today we are going to talk about something. I appreciate you reading the scripture. It sounded beautiful. But we're going to talk about a different subject. When I originally kind of prayed through this and put it together, I just, as we prayed this week at the ministry, so we pray every day at the radio station, I just kind of felt God moving me in a different direction. So, as God always does, he kind of makes us scramble a little bit and do things last minute. So, let's see how it goes at the end of the day. So, a little bit about me. I'm from Omaha, Nebraska originally. Go Big Red, right? A bunch of Husker fans in here, I see. No, we've already had that conversation up front. I grew up in South Omaha, so I grew up in a little tougher community. Didn't grow up in church, didn't grow up as a Christian, didn't receive Christ until I was 25, which now has been many more years ago than it originally used to be. So, and God's really done some great things in my life. Never figured I'd be working in radio, let alone Christian radio. Never figured I'd have the opportunity to speak at churches, which I get to. So God can use anybody for his glory. So, but today we are going to talk about understanding your why, understanding your purpose, understanding the reason you do things. So before we do that, let's go ahead and go to Lord in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for this day you've given us. We thank you for an opportunity to gather and to worship and to sing praises to you. Lord, we appreciate the praises that we hear, the work that you do in our lives every day. And sometimes that work we don't see, Lord, but we know that you are constantly working within us for your glory. Lord, we just ask you to be with those that we prayed for during the time of prayer and praise. Everybody needs prayer, Lord, and we just are thankful that we have that opportunity to pray and that you listen, Lord, and that you do answer us. And sometimes that answer is no, but it's still an answer. Lord, we're just so thankful for the Son that you sent to the cross to die for us. We thank you for the apostles and the pastors and the Christians of the past that provided the foundation to do what we do today, like those in the book of Acts, Lord. Lord, we thank you for those that are in need of you. And Lord, let us just be a mighty army that goes and reaches the lost souls with your gospel message. Lord, be with us today. Open our hearts and let us just receive your word and let it be your words that are told today. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So we're going to bounce around a little bit in Scripture as we go. Like I said, I do things a little bit different. So generally, when we approach a task or approach a duty or if we're going to attend an event or whatever that is, we are always familiar with the what. What is our task? So like this morning when you're getting ready and getting all dolled up and prettied up to come to church, you knew what you were going to do. Today, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to service. I'm going to go to worship. We also know when we're supposed to accomplish a task. Well, we know church starts at 10:30-ish. We know Bible study starts at 9:30-ish. so we know when we are going to accomplish our task. We always know where that task is going to happen. So we know we're going to come here to this church building to worship together, or whatever else that is in our life. But sometimes what gets lost in translation at times is the why we are doing it. Why are we doing it? Why are we coming to church today? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Just a couple examples to give you some clarity on kind of where I'm going with this. Now, my son is an 8th grader. I have 4 kids. That's why I'm bald and broke, right? So, and probably have more stress than I need. I got a daughter that's a junior in college. I got a daughter that's graduating this year who will be going to Concordia next year. Rachel knows her. They do plays together. I got a son who's a junior, and he's why I have gray hair. And I have an 8th grade son. And my 8th grade son is a wrestler, loves to wrestle. The kid loves wrestling. He lives, breathes wrestling. And they're having the kids' league districts today in Salina. So after I get done here, which is for your benefit because we get to get done a little early. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to go run to Salina and go watch him wrestle. Now, I know what he's going to be doing. I understand he's going to be wrestling. I know where he's going to be doing it at. It's going to be at Tony's Event Center. I understand what time it's going to happen. Starts at 1 o'clock. And we know where it's going to take place. But where it gets complicated is the why. So when I talk to my son, I'm a big sports guy. I've been coaching for 25 years. As I tell him, sports or whatever you're doing, there's lessons in everything. So the goal for him to wrestle today isn't just to win and go to state. Even though we want him to do that, that's fun, that's important, some of the things we do, there's lessons inside everything you do. So one thing with sports and with wrestling is he can learn how to be a teammate. He can learn sportsmanship. He can learn how to be respectful of opponents. He can learn how to lose. I've always learned more from losing than winning. He learns how to be a good student. He learns how to earn the opportunity to wrestle. We don't just let him wrestle because he signs up for it. He's got to have good behavior. He's got to have good grades. He's got to have good attitude. And he's got to treat people with respect. So we give him the opportunity to wrestle. So the why in what he's doing today isn't just to win. It's to be a good person, to be a good character, to learn life skills. That is his why. Another example is with KGIO. What we do, we play music, and we have preaching. 98% of people in the world think that's all we do, is we just play music, and we have some preaching programs. But our why is to encourage believers and reach the lost with the gospel message of Christ. That is our why. That is our mission. That is what we do. If all we did was play music and preaching, and we forgot what our why is, we would miss a lot of opportunities in ministry. Last year, obviously, was a little bit different, right? Kind of a first year for everybody with coronavirus and political craziness and just the state of where we are. Our ministry had a great opportunity to reach a lot of people, a lot of people. And if we would have lost our focus of our ministry to encourage others and to reach the lost for Christ, we would have missed the thousands and thousands of people we were able to reach through our ministry. So we need to keep our why in perspective. When we know what our why is, the reason we do things, it gives it purpose. It gives us purpose. It gives us an opportunity to maximize what we're doing. For instance, let's see here, sorry. Not a big notes guy. All right. Our why gives us purpose and direction. Once you discover your why, you can truly learn and grow. Once you really know why you're doing things, you can learn and grow. So today, I want you just to ask yourself, it's a rhetorical question. Why are you at church? What are you doing here? Everybody has a reason, right? Sometimes in life, we do things over and over and over again. We do it just because it becomes a habit. I go to church every Sunday because I go to church every Sunday. And that's okay. We want people in church. But we want you to be able to maximize your experience in church by knowing your why. So ask yourself today, why are you here? Why do you get up in the morning to go to church? Psalm 100 tells us, "In his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." We are here today to give thanks and to give praise to God, the creator of all things. If you really start looking at it, isn't that pretty cool that we have an opportunity to get together during the week and to give thanks and praise to our Lord? That's awesome. That's great that we have that opportunity to do that. That is the why. So if we come in with a heart knowing that we are coming here today to give thanks and glory to God, it will change our worship experience. It'll change the way we look at the worship service and our worship experience. Why do we pray? Matthew tells us, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Prayer gives us strength in hard times. Now, you don't have to have me a show of hands, but how many of you have ever had a hard time in your life? Right? I'm pretty sure we're at about 100% there, right? We pray because it gives us strength. Sometimes we can't face a situation based off our own strength. We need God's strength for us to endure life. Life is hard, right? It can be hard sometimes. We pray because God gives us strength. We pray because he gives us guidance. God gives us guidance so we know how to handle certain situations or certain things that come in our lives. You know, there's a lot of people that look to go into ministry full-time or ministry. They want to sell their house or whatever and go into ministry. Most of them don't do that on a whim. They do it through the guidance of God. The other thing prayer does is it gives us peace. It gives us peace. We live in a pretty chaotic world sometimes. Life can get out of control. Life can get crazy, and we can lose focus. But when we pray, God can give us peace through that prayer. When we understand why we pray, it radically changes our prayer life and our relationship with the Father. It radically changes our prayer life. Like I tell my kids, when they do a dinner prayer, if they're like, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay God, or whatever, some prayer, I was telling them, if you don't mean it, don't do it. If you don't mean it, don't say it. Now, I don't need a 20-minute sermon in prayer before we eat our meal, but like I tell them, if you're going to pray, mean it, because prayer is serious. And prayer is us talking to God and him listening to us. So that's why we pray. When we understand why we pray, it increases our willingness to pray. It makes us want to pray more. It makes our prayers deeper, more fervent, and we get closer to God through our prayer. Why do we fellowship? Why do we take time to get together with other brothers and sisters? Now, sometimes it's because of potlucks. You guys do potlucks? I'm a Southern Baptist. We do potlucks daily, weekly. They're like a monthly thing. We all like a good potluck, right? I especially like a potluck when it's older congregation, because some of you ladies can cook now, especially the dessert section. But we don't just do potlucks as fellowship. God wants us to fellowship. It tells us in Corinthians, "Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues, and others will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you." Must strengthen all of you. We fellowship because God gives us all individual gifts for his kingdom. I am horrible at administration. The worst guy at administration possible. Don't ever ask me to do administration or you'll regret it because I'm so bad at it. But there's other people that are really good at that. There's some people within the church that God has given the ability to sing. He treated you all right. You did good. I like that. And there's others that aren't as good, myself included. The reason we fellowship is we can utilize our gifts to glorify God. Our gifts to glorify God. Another reason we fellowship, and I think is one of the most underappreciated aspects of church, is when we're ministering to people, each and every one of you have a different story, right? You're not all the same story. You all don't come from the same background. You all haven't endured the same problems or what have you. But the reason we fellowship is because we can minister to the lost better. I've never lost a spouse. But if I'm ministering to somebody who's lost a spouse, I can't relate to them. But I know somebody within my church has, and I can connect them two together so they can connect and they could share the story of how God got them through it. That's one of the reasons we fellowship, is we all have different stories and we can reach the lost and minister to others through our stories. That's another reason we fellowship. Another reason we fellowship is we can make each other better. We can make each other better. Now, I don't know if this is something you have in your church, and you probably don't because you guys have been together a while and have a lot of relationships, but sometimes we're not terribly honest with one another. I don't mean we lie to each other, but if we're dealing with something, we need to let people know so they can minister to us. Now, you don't have to air all your public, private issues out in the world, but there's people within your church body or other Christians that you know that can minister to you. But you can't be ministered to if people don't know how to pray for you or how to lift you up or how to minister to you. Those are the reasons we fellowship. When we understand why we fellowship, it changes the way we do it. We can encourage each other, lift each other up, pray for each other. We can connect each other with lost people so they can receive the gospel message. Why do we read scriptures? Why do we read the Bible? Why did I have him read a whole chapter of Acts? Even though it sounded beautiful. 2 Timothy tells us, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We read the scripture to understand what God wants from us. It's our instruction manual. Now, I don't know if any of you are guilty of it, but I've been in a Bible study and I forgot to study for it, and I'm reading it on my way into Bible study just so I can tell everybody I read it, right? That's not why God wants us to read his scripture. He wants us to read his scripture so we can have an understanding of what he wants from us. It also is a reminder of how great of a God we serve. I love the creation story. When I look at the sun and the moon and the stars, it's just a reminder to me of how awesome of a God we serve. A God that can create those things cares about somebody like me. We read the scriptures so we can understand what God wants us to do. Another reason we read the scriptures is to be righteous, not just right. Not just right. We want to be righteous. We don't want to just understand the scriptures so we can start arguments with everybody that doesn't necessarily believe what we do, maybe a different denomination, or so we can just argue with people about how much knowledge we have. We read the scripture, as it said in that last part of the scripture we read, to apply it. Sometimes that's forgotten. God gives us our scripture so we can apply it not only into our lives, but into the lives of others. God wants us to live his scripture, and he wants us to share his scripture. You see, I know a lot of people that are very wise when it comes to the Bible. Very wise when it comes to theology. Very wise when it comes to doctrinal issues or apologetics or whatever the subject is. But they don't apply the scripture in their lives. That's not wisdom. God wants us to be wise. Wisdom is applied knowledge. Taking the knowledge you have and applying it makes you a wise person. It gives you wisdom. It's almost like going to medical school, graduating medical school and deciding you want to work at McDonald's. And there's nothing wrong with working at McDonald's at all. But what I'm saying is if you went to medical school, you probably are wasting the knowledge you had working at McDonald's. So the reason why we read Scripture is so we can apply it into our lives and apply it into the lives of others. This is the subject that I'm an evangelist at heart. I love evangelism. And I love evangelism because I didn't grow up as a Christian. And a lot of people know me as Todd, now the 45-year-old dad, but a lot of people don't know me as Todd, the 20-year-old South Omaha thug that used to cause trouble and run around and do drugs and drink and fight and steal and cheat and do all those type of things. I have an evangelist heart because I know what God can do in the lives of somebody, what God can do to change your life. So why do we share the gospel? That's a subject that comes up a lot, evangelism. There's a lot of scripture on evangelism, a lot of teaching on evangelism. So why do we share the gospel? John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." This is why we share the gospel, because God loves people. God loves people. Might come to a surprise to some of you, but God loves the people that we don't like. That's hard sometimes. God loves the people that do wrong in the world. He still loves those people because he created them. Our why is the truth that not everybody is going to heaven, unfortunately. That is why we need to share the gospel. As believers, we need to have anguish for the lost. Our hearts need to break knowing people do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we need to share the gospel. Our job is not to judge, but to share the love of Christ to even the least of these. Our job is to share the gospel of Jesus with everybody. God wants us to get his message out to anybody that we can. Now, is everybody going to listen? No. But we can at least share the gospel. That is our why. That is our why. It's because God wants everybody to know him. And they find out about him through us. Not just our words, but our actions as well. We need to become evangelical. We have I don't watch as much anymore, but I hear a lot of stuff on social media and just people I talk to about how messed up the world is, and it's messed up because it's the world, and how we have all these issues with families and communities and schools and churches and these type of things. And the reason we have those issues is because we don't share the gospel. If we want to change a community, if we want to change families, if we want to change a nation, if we want to change our politicians, we need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. God changes the world through his gospel. There's probably some of you in here that are an example of God changing you. I'm a living example of what God can do and how God can change, because somebody shared the gospel with me. Somebody took time to share the gospel with me, and I fought them the whole way, all right? It wasn't a one-time conversion experience. It was a lot of hard work from a few individuals that shared the gospel. But that is why God wants us to do that. Now, we understand why we worship. It changes the way we do it, and it will maximize our experience. When we understand why we pray, it brings us closer to God. When we understand why we fellowship, we can minister to people better. When we understand why we share the gospel, communities change, families change, and nations change. Sometimes we just need a little bit of encouragement. And we just sometimes need a little refresher on why we do things. Trust me, I don't do on the air all the time. I'm on every Friday night. I'm the late night host, so none of you have ever heard me, unless you're up doing something at 2 o'clock in the morning, all right? But even in our ministry, we can get stagnant. When you're on the air, you just start, you're like, okay, I'm busy, I gotta do this, I gotta do this. You kick on the mic, and you're just like, I'm just gonna read reader sheets real fast, we'll just go through it fast. That doesn't affect change. Even us in our ministry, even pastors sometimes need a refresher, and we just need to sit back and say, this is why we're doing this. Instead of just getting into the mundane over and over, mundane repetition of doing things. So I just ask, you know, I challenge you this week, next week, or what have you, next month ahead, really take time to focus on why you do things. That even applies to things outside of church. Why do you go to work every day? Some people ask themselves that question. When I was a garbage man for 15 years, and I loved my job, but there was times I was like, why in the world do I have to do this again today? It's cold, it's hot, I'm tired, I'm sore, I'm old. But when you remember why you work, it changes your attitude on your work. When you remember that you're feeding your family, or that you're saving up money to go on a vacation, or whether you're going to invest into something else like that, once you know your why, it changes your attitude towards your work. Same thing with parenting or grandparenting. Why do I need to work so hard to get these lessons through these knuckleheads? It's because you know that you're going to implement change in their lives. My oldest daughter, who's a junior at Fort Hays, lives in Hays, her and I battled constantly. And I was like, oh, this kid's going to not do very well in life. But she finally listened, and she's doing incredible. It's because her mom and I spent so much time instilling lessons into her that she was able to take on to some of those lessons, add some things herself, and get herself to a position of success. If we would have just gave up on her, we would have never had that opportunity. So once again, just in closing, take time to understand your why you do what you do, why you come to church every Sunday, why you pray, why you read your scripture. And when you do that, it will change the way you look at things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. And Lord, I just ask that you just open our hearts to why it is we do what we do. Lord, if there's people in here today or people out in the world, Lord, that are struggling with their faith, Lord, because it happens. If they're struggling with the reason on why they take time to just serve you and they feel sometimes that it's a waste, Lord, I just ask you to be with them and let them know they're doing it because they love you. They may not realize it. Lord, I just ask that everybody has the opportunity to live a life that glorifies you. There's no better life, Lord, than a life that involves you in it. Lord, I just ask you today to be with those who are lost, those who don't know you, Lord, those that are struggling with life, with the things of life, that are overwhelmed with the chaos of life, whether they've made bad decisions on their own, Lord, or whether people have hurt them. I just ask that you give them peace. Just give them the opportunity to know that true peace comes from you. Lord, we just ask you today to be with the lost, Lord, with those that just don't know you at all, Lord, or fight you or what have you. As whoever mentioned in prayer time, Lord, send somebody to those people and be able to connect with them or relate with them, Lord, so that they can have salvation that comes through you, so their life can be changed through what you do. Lord, I just ask you today to be with this church body as their pastors are on sabbatical, Lord. I just ask for you to continue to allow them to minister to one another and to minister to the community and to the world, Lord. I ask that you continue to give them strength to do so. And we appreciate, Lord, those in this church body that live to serve you. Lord, we just ask you to continue to be with them. We ask you to be with Margaret, Lord, as she's dealing with health issues. And be with Dale as he ministers to her. Lord, we just know that the leadership they provide in the community and the heart they have for you,
Lord, we just ask that you put your hand of protection on them and just your hand of peace and love, and just let them enjoy and just enjoy each moment together, Lord. Lord, we ask you just to be with every ministry in this community that's reaching souls, Lord, and that are lifting you up in praise. We do have a great faith community here that comes together, Lord, and prays and helps each other out, and we're thankful for that. And we ask that that becomes contagious in other communities. Lord, once again, we just are thankful for the opportunity to come into your house to give you thanks and praise. And we're thankful for everything you do for us, Lord. We're thankful for the blessings, and we're thankful for the adversity that comes in our life, Lord, because it makes us better, and it makes us stronger, and it makes us more aware of what's going on. Lord, once again, we just ask you to be with us today as we depart. We just let us just remember your glory. And Lord, just remind us daily on who you are and how much you love us. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.